Keep.
He fished a red Swiss Army knife out of his pocket. My heart raced until I saw he wasn't going for the blade, but the tweezers attachment.
Take a deep breath.
I did, and it was over fast. As soon as the splinter came out, my butt felt slightly better. My ego? Not so much. Connor brought the tweezers around to my face to show me the long, brown piece of wood.
You should probably get home and take care of it. Maybe put some peroxide on it or something, so it doesn't get infected.
All right. I hadn't exactly envisioned my night ending like this. Connor walked me back to the car. We didn't hold hands. Instead, I kept a few steps ahead to hide the fact that I was still blushing. But I did let him kiss me goodbye. Chapter 24. I woke up late Monday morning. I'd spent the last 3 nights in a row with Connor, and the lack of sleep was definitely catching up to me. That, and the fact that it had been 10 days since Autumn and I last spoke. It was yearbook picture day, and I should have gotten right up with the first buzz of my alarm to put some effort into getting ready. After all, my senior portrait wasn't just going to be in the yearbook. I would be immortalized up on the wall in the library. Number 9. Only I kept hitting the snooze button, and when I finally did get out of bed, I barely had enough time to grab a shower. It wasn't until I'd finished drying off and begun brushing my teeth that the steam on the mirror dripped away just enough to let me see what had magically appeared overnight. At first, I'd thought it might be a pimple. I touched it lightly with my fingertips, hoping to feel a bump or something to squeeze so it might go down before pictures. But it was a flat, red oval, maybe the size of a quarter, flecked with tiny purple dots of broken capillaries. It sat nearly in the middle of my neck, hovering an inch or so off my collarbone, where Connor had been kissing me last night. A hickey. A big, fat hickey on my neck for yearbook picture day. I thought of my senior portrait hanging on the library wall, all those powerful-looking girls, like the young Miss B, accomplished, serious, and then me, President Hickey. People in the future might assume that I slept my way to being student council president. That splotch sucked all the dignity out of my accomplishment. I'd be remembered forever as a slut. I ran into my bedroom before my mom or dad could see me and slammed the door. I threw on a crisp white Oxford and fastened the buttons the way all the girls at school did, leaving 3 below the collar open. But the hickey shone like a red-bulbed lighthouse from the pale sea of my skin. I tried leaving just 2 buttons open, then 1, but the only way to completely hide my hickey was to do up every single button. The collar felt like a noose, or one of those stockades in the olden days, like a punishment I somehow deserved. Our gymnasium had been turned into a portrait studio. Bright lights stood tall on tripods, catching the dust flying through the air in beams projected on a rich, navy velvet curtain. An artsy-looking bald man in tweed slacks stood with his face pressed into the back of his camera. We'd been called down by grade. A few juniors were still left snaking along the court edge, tracing the perimeter of the gym. The flashbulb popped like a pulse. 3, 2, 1, pop, the photographer shouted. Next! The line inched forward. 3, 2, 1, pop. Autumn stood across the gym, head cocked to the side as she took out her braids. They left her hair perfectly wavy. Marcy Cooperstein stood at Autumn's hip and, along with a bunch of other girls, dug through their makeup bags, suggesting lipsticks and blushes to each other. Marcy rubbed a sheer pink lipstick across her lips before handing it to Autumn, who did the same. I leaned against the gym mats. I didn't have any makeup on, just my trusty Burt's Bees, and my hair was still wet from my shower. I cursed myself for not waking up earlier and getting ready properly, not to mention the fact that I'd been branded. Connor came out of the boys' locker room and stood near me, pretending to read the intramurals postings on the bulletin board.
You look nice, he said. A little buttoned up.
I have to be, I hissed. You gave me a hickey last night. Now my senior portrait is going to be ruined.
Mike Domsky walked by us, and both Connor and I closed our mouths. But as soon as Mike was out of earshot, I laid into Connor again.
Hickeys are absolutely disgusting. It's like when a rancher brands his cattle with one of those hot poker thingies. I don't belong to you. I don't want your mark anywhere on me.
I'm sorry, he whispered. I swear I didn't do it on purpose.
It sounded like he meant it, but I was so mad I stormed off. That was all I needed on top of everything else, to have someone see us talking and then notice my hickey and put two and two together. I ended up two steps behind Mike Domsky. I wouldn't have paid attention to a single thing he said, but then he called out,
Hey, fish sticks!
It was pure reflex, the way my gut seized up. I wondered if Marcy would defend Autumn the way I used to, though I highly doubted it. Marcy cared too much about what guys like Mike Domsky thought of her. Only, Marcy didn't even need to defend Autumn. Autumn spun around, smiled, and said,
Hey, Domsky.
I couldn't believe it. Not only had Autumn forgiven Marcy, but now she was actually answering to fish sticks. I glared at her, but either she pretended not to notice me or she really didn't. One of the photographer's assistants clapped her hands and herded us over to the bleachers.
We're going to need everyone in the designated senior picture attire.
She pulled a fistful of fabric strips from inside her apron pocket.
Ties and blazers are mandatory for the boys, so if you don't already have both on, come see me.
She stepped behind a curtain and dragged a big cardboard box over to us.
And I've got black smocks for the girls. Please slide them on and make sure your bra straps aren't visible.
I stepped over to the box and picked up one of the smocks. I'd completely forgotten that this was what the senior girls wore for yearbook portraits. It was like a poncho, a deep V-neck sweater that slid over our heads. Other girls around me draped them on and then unbuttoned their shirts. It left your shoulders and your neck bare. I jogged over to the assistant.
Excuse me, I wanted to see if I could take my portrait in my uniform.
She looked at me queerly.
Are you a senior?
Yes.
Then I'm afraid that's not possible.
But this is the uniform I've worn for 4 years. It is sentimental value, plus the boys essentially get to wear their uniforms. If I can't wear mine, that amounts to sexism.
I tried to sound serious, but the photography assistant laughed at me. And suddenly, the reality of the situation squeezed my chest and made it impossible to breathe. While everyone else got into line, I grabbed my smock and sprinted to the bathroom. I'd stolen some foundation from my mother's vanity before leaving the house. Now, I tipped my finger in the bottle and covered my fingertip in the thick, velvety liquid. Then, I tried to dot some makeup along the lighter edges of the hickey, blending it into the thick center. My hands shook. I was so upset. Unfortunately, my mom's skin was a couple of shades darker than mine, thanks to my Sicilian Grammy. The purple oval bled out into a haze of sickly orange. Instead of covering up the hickey, it only attracted more attention to it. The tears started coming. I heard the door open. Spencer came in.
Hey, Natalie,
she said, oblivious, walking over to the sink.
Ugh, I dissected a frog last period, and though I've washed my hands 100 times, they still smell like formaldehyde.
She turned to look at me, and I felt her eyes narrow on my neck.
Whoa! Who'd you get that from?
It's a bug bite, I said flatly. I didn't have time for this.
Right. A bug bite. In November.
She dug inside her bag.
That happens all the time.
I could feel Spencer lording it over my head. She knew exactly what was on my neck. She stepped forward with a wet paper towel and tucked her makeup case under her arm.
Here, wipe that stuff off.
I stare down at the paper towel as it dripped a puddle on the floor.
I'm fine, I said. Thanks. Natalie, quit being so proud and let me help you. Unless you want a big hickey dead center in your senior portrait.
She pushed some hair off my shoulder for a better look.
So, who's the lucky guy?
I took the paper towel and rubbed it hard and fast against my neck.
Look, this is a bug bite, okay? If you want to help me, great. If you don't, well, then get out of here.
Spencer seemed like she wanted to say something, but she held it in and instead tilted my head back gently. Then she pulled the cap off a bright yellow crayon.
What's that?
I said.
The yellow makes your skin appear less red. I'll put this on first, then a layer of foundation, and then...
She dug in her makeup bag.
I'll put some powder on top. You and I are almost the same shade.
3 minutes later, I was transformed into a good girl. Spencer dabbed a last bit of powder on my neck.
There, your, bug bite has vanished.
She also gave me some lipstick and put my head under the hand dryer while she raked her fingers through my damp hair. I came out of the whole thing looking halfway decent.
Make sure you pose with your chin tilted down a little, she instructed, pulling some of my hair over my shoulder. Don't worry. You look really pretty, Natalie.
Thanks, I said, and I was thankful even though I couldn't look at her. The girl I used to babysit had just saved my ass big time. I went back into the gym with my smock on and my white shirt balled in my hand. Miss B stood off to the side with another teacher, watching. I walked past her and made sure that my chin was down, like Spencer had said. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw Connor staring at me. 3, 2, 1, pop.
Chapter 25. We kept seeing each other, not just weekends, but school nights, too. In secret, in the shed. 5th time, 6th time, 7th. The 8th time, Connor pushed the door open and handed me the lantern. For whatever reason, he wanted me to walk in first. The itchy stadium blanket was folded in half on the floor. Unfurled on top was a puffy sleeping bag, unzipped enough to reveal a plaid fleece lining. A pillow leaned against a cardboard box as if it were a headboard, in a pillowcase with edges trimmed in white eyelet lace.
Is this your mom's?
I asked uneasily, lifting it up off the floor. It had already gotten a little dirty. I brushed away what I could.
She's got an entire closet full. She won't notice.
Connor hung my peacoat on a nail. Then he pulled out a couple of tea light candles from the pouch of his sweatshirt, lit them, and set them on top of a rafter. Flickering light lit up the peaks and corners of the shed like a cathedral.
I thought we could use a warmer bed, since it's getting pretty cold out here.
It was true. The last couple of times I'd been so freezing I'd lost feeling in my toes.
It's the best solution I could come up with, since you still refuse to come inside my house.
He let his words hang in the air, as if I might change my mind. I looked down. Connor had even swept the floor. There were no pine needles, no sawdust.
You didn't have to go to all this trouble,
I mumbled. I appreciated the effort, of course, but I was already too comfortable in this shed, considering the circumstances. This was not a romantic cottage in the woods, and Connor Hughes was not my boyfriend. I had to keep everything in perspective, or I would lose perspective entirely.
You're welcome.
Connor smiled, then lifted his sweatshirt. His t-shirt went up with it, and he tossed them both into an empty red wheelbarrow. I tried not to stare. His abs were carved and defined, rippling down to the waistband of his nylon track pants, which he also proceeded to slip off, leaving him in a pair of striped boxers and white socks pulled up to his calves. The smell of soap on his skin was intense.
"Call me crazy," I said, "but you might stay warmer if you kept your clothes on."
Connor laughed. "Are you kidding? This sleeping bag is rated for 10 degrees below zero. I used it when my dad and I went ice fishing last winter. If you and I don't take our clothes off, we'll sweat to death."
Suddenly, all the layers I'd cleverly thought to put on to fight the cold, a pair of thermal underwear, jeans, two pairs of socks, sweatshirt, t-shirt, and a cami, felt suffocating. He slid into the sleeping bag.
"Come here, Sterling."
I stared down at his grinning face.
"I don't think I'll fit."
"It's plenty big enough for two."
He shimmied over and patted the empty space next to him, a sliver of room. The wind outside leaked between the cedar shingles and sent the candles flickering. It hit me that, fancy sleeping bag or not, Connor and I couldn't meet out here much longer. It would be way too cold, and though the farm was quiet now, come holiday time there'd be workers in and out of here for supplies, and customers meandering all over our private maze of pines, on the hunt for the perfect Christmas tree. Part of me felt relieved at this very clear expiration date, but I felt sad, too. I'd always looked forward to winter, to mittens and colored lights, hot chocolate and velvet bows, corny Christmas songs, and the search to find the best present possible for autumn. The probability of us not exchanging gifts this year felt more real than I wanted it to. I took off my first layer of clothes, the jeans and my sweatshirt, and hung them up with my peacoat. It took some work to get comfortable next to Connor. We were squished so tightly together that our foreheads and the tips of our noses touched. It was too close to look at each other without getting a headache, so we both closed our eyes. It only took a minute for my body temperature to roar. A drop of sweat rolled down the side of my face.
"Here,"
he said, and lifted off my thermal. The cami underneath went along with it. I probably would have been more self-conscious, except that I still had my thermal leggings and my bra on, and with the sleeping bag, he couldn't really see anything. In fact, I had yet to be completely undressed in front of Connor. His hands had touched nearly all of me, but his eyes hadn't seen a thing. Even though I was sticky from sweat, Connor didn't seem to mind. We kissed for a bit, and his hands ran lightly over my back.
"What do you do when you're not here with me?"
he asked.
"I sleep," I said with a smile. "No, I mean, seriously."
His questions made me anxious. I definitely didn't have a social life like Connor's. "Well, I'm usually with Autumn." My mind searched for other things to tell him, but I drew a blank, a pathetic blank.
"She's a nice girl. I've seen her out a few times lately. How come you don't go to parties with her?"
I rolled over and then back again, trying to get comfortable. "Of course she's a nice girl. Why wouldn't she be a nice girl?" I knew Autumn wanted to be more social, but I hadn't known she was completely back in the scene.
I didn't mean anything by it."
"Just so you know, the things that Chad Rivington said about her weren't true." I wrestled to get my arms out from underneath me. "And to answer your question, Autumn and I don't go to parties together because we're in a fight right now." I wanted to add, "That's why I come here to see you," but I didn't. It wasn't Connor who I was angry with. It was Autumn. And a little bit me, too.
"Over what?"
The sleeping bag had become a microwave. "Can you unzip this thing? I'm suffocating." Connor fumbled to get his arms across me. The zipper purled open, and it felt like coming up for a breath after a long underwater swim.
"Sorry, I didn't mean to."
"It's fine. I'm just better off if I don't really think about it."
"Okay. I'll change the subject. You doing anything this Friday?"
I narrowed my eyes. Was he joking?
"No. The SATs are Saturday morning."
Connor shrugged.
"Wait,
I said. You're not taking them?
Nah.
But what about college?
I'm not going to college.
Connor must have seen the surprise on my face because he started shaking his head like I had the wrong idea.
Wait, that's not exactly true. I'm going to take a couple of business classes at the community college, but the family business is shifting over to me in the next year or two when my dad retires.
I said, that's cool. Though I doubt I sounded convinced. Taking over a business like the Hughes Christmas Tree Farm was impressive, but that would mean staying in Liberty River for the rest of your life, which to me seemed like the worst thing possible. I tried to think of a graceful way to change the subject when Connor started kissing me again. It was like neither of us wanted to admit how different we were, deep down. So we didn't. Instead, we slithered all over each other like two snakes in a bag. A while later, Connor got up to get me a bottle of water from a stash he'd set on a shelf. When he got back in the sleeping bag, his skin was icy. He rubbed next to me to get warm and said,
I like hanging out with you.
He rolled on his back and stared up at the ceiling as if he could see stars, not a bunch of seed bags suspended in between the rafters. When I didn't say anything, Connor pulled me on top of him.
Do you like coming here?
I wouldn't be here if I didn't, I said. It wasn't exactly a declaration of feelings, but it was all I could give him. Chapter 26. On the drive home that night, I decided it was time Autumn and I talked. I'd given her space, maybe too much. The trick was getting to her when Marcy wasn't around. Autumn must have felt the same way because on Friday after school, I found her outside the library, a pile of books in her hands, one knee perched up against the wall. I knew she was waiting to see me because for the first time since the Halloween dance, she actually made eye contact. I was no longer invisible, the ghost of a friend she used to have.
Hey, she said. Can we talk?
I looked at my watch. The student council meeting would start in 5 minutes. As much as I wanted this to happen, there were too many students passing us on the way into the library, and I didn't want to feel rushed. We had a lot to discuss.
Can this wait until after the meeting? I asked. I could drive you home, or we could go somewhere and get food.
My mind raced with the possibility. We'd grab dinner at our favorite diner, finally hash things out, and then head back to my house. I still had the Singing in the Rain DVD I'd spitefully watched with my mom after our fight. I'd pretend that I hadn't watched it, that I'd waited for her. She shook her head.
This won't take long.
The floor went out beneath me. I couldn't believe her. She'd finally decided it was time for us to talk, and I was expected to drop everything. Now I definitely didn't want to get into it before the meeting started because I could already feel the tightness in my throat.
I don't know what you suddenly need to tell me, I said. You've made it clear that you don't want to be friends anymore.
I tried to keep my voice down, but it felt like I was screaming.
I'm quitting student council.
Her hand went up to her mouth to bite her fingernail, but she quickly pulled it back down. I shook my head.
What? Why would you do something like that? Do you honestly hate me that much? God, has Marcy completely brainwashed you against me? This isn't about you, or Marcy, or anyone. I just don't want to be in student council anymore.
What about all the committees you volunteered for? You're just going to walk out on your responsibilities?
It's not fair to everyone that I haven't been giving it my all.
She sounded like it was a pain to have to explain herself.
And quit acting so shocked, Natalie. You knew I was never really into student council.
Maybe not, but you always had good ideas, like asking Connor for the bonfire wood and holding our own girls' night. And it's not like student council was bad for you. How's it going to look on your college applications if you quit during senior year? I threw my hands up. I really don't get this, Autumn. It's like you're having a midlife crisis or something.
I don't want you to do something you're going to regret later on.
I don't want regrets either. That's why I want to spend my senior year doing other things. I've missed out on a ton. I've got to make up for lost time before high school is over.
So 3 years of our friendship was lost time? Over Autumn's shoulder, I caught sight of someone poking her head around the corner, watching us. Marcy Cooperstein. It was the final straw.
Wow, I said. Okay, I never thought you'd be stupid enough to make such a terrible mistake again, but apparently I was wrong about you.
Autumn didn't back down.
I'm not making a mistake. And don't you dare judge me.
I couldn't help but laugh.
Judge you?
I was the only one in this entire school who didn't judge you. You think it was easy for me to be your friend? To always have to protect you? It wasn't. It sucked, actually.
Autumn looked genuinely pissed now.
Don't make it seem like you were some kind of saint. No one wanted to be friends with you. Nobody even liked you. You walked around this school with your nose stuck up in the air, so much smarter, so much better than everyone else. Without me, you wouldn't have had one single friend. No wonder you wanted me to feel so bad about myself. If I hadn't, we would have stopped being friends a long time ago.
I am a good friend, I thought. A good friend who didn't deserve to be treated this way.
Yes, I'd always been worried about Autumn leaving me, but I'd never made her feel bad about herself in order to make her stay.
I turned to walk away because, really, I'd had enough. But then I spun back around. The words were hot in my mouth, and I spit them like fireballs.
You realize you're making a humongous fool out of yourself, don't you, fish sticks?
I wanted Autumn to get mad as I felt. But instead of turning bright red, all the color drained from her face.
I never, ever thought you would say that to me, she said.
Black smoke bloomed inside me. I knew I should shut up. I wanted to suck the words back inside my mouth, but I couldn't. I couldn't stop.
But that's your name, right? That's what your friend Mike Domsky calls you.
I felt bad for Mike after what Spencer did to him. She humiliated him in front of everyone.
Are you kidding me? Mike made both of our lives miserable, and now you're sticking up for him? Come on, Autumn. Don't you have any self-respect?
I probably should have expected this from you. After all, you're the one who makes me feel the worst about myself. You constantly bring up the whole fish sticks thing. How I should tell other girls about it so they can learn from my mistakes? How I shouldn't be friends with anyone but you because other people laughed at me? Well, I'm tired of it.
She was releasing her own fire and smoke now.
So people said shitty things about me. You know what? I gave them too much power. I should have never let something so ridiculous affect me the way it did, especially when it wasn't even true.
Her words burned so bright I couldn't see. I couldn't say anything in my own defense. All I could do was cry. I half thought Autumn might reach out for me, or at least apologize when she saw how badly she was hurting me. After all, I'd held her through so many sobbing fits. I dried her tears 1,000 times. But she stayed on her side of the invisible divide and wiped her cheeks, which were slick with tears, too.
You've been a great friend to me, Natalie. I'm not saying you haven't, but I don't need you to protect me anymore. I don't need you making me feel bad or reminding me of something stupid I did 3 years ago. I'm moving on with my life. And you should, too.
She said it like it would be easy. And maybe for her it was. But for me, crying alone in the hallway, it seemed utterly impossible. Chapter 27. I set myself on autopilot. Some
unknown force took over my controls while I curled up in a ball deep in the back of myself.
It dried my tears and pulled me together. It walked me into the library, sat me down at the head of the table, and led an entire student council meeting, filling four of my notebook pages with action items and project discussions and thoughts for next week's agenda. Then it drove home, ate the ziti my mom had cooked, and pushed me up the stairs to my room. I still couldn't believe that I'd called Autumn fish sticks. The words left a dirty taste in my mouth even now. Any chance we might have to patch things up, I had completely ruined. I ached to take it back, but I knew that I couldn't. My phone buzzed from the bottom of my book bag. I checked and saw who it was, but I couldn't answer. I couldn't go to him. Not tonight. The SATs were hours away, the most important test of my life. I couldn't screw that up, no matter what kind of shambles my life was in. I shook thoughts of Connor out of my head and stayed focused. I spent an hour reviewing my vocab lists, looked over my essay bullet points, and packed my bag with test-taking essentials, two protein bars, a bunch of my favorite mechanical pencils, a hair tie, and then I tried to sleep. Sleep would be good for me, but I tossed and turned for what seemed like hours. Sometime in the last 2 weeks, I'd become nocturnal. My body burned energy I didn't know I was even capable of storing up, even when I lay as still as I possibly could. All my organs and muscles churned like a locomotive. It was anxiety. It was apprehension. It was grief. I tried watching television. I tried reading a book. I tried taking a shower with the water as hot as I could stand. When I stepped out, I caught a blur of myself in the steamed-up mirror. I looked like a ghost and felt like one, too. Using my towel's edge, I wiped away the condensation. Almost instantly, negative things jumped out. I wished that I had bigger boobs. Mine were barely a handful. I turned sideways and stared at the dimpled skin on my upper thigh. The scars looked like I'd sat on gravel from where Grammy's dog had bitten me. I twisted to see the dirt-smudged birthmark on my hip and back again to see my outie belly button, which protruded so far off my stomach that it looked like a third nipple. I thought, is this the kind of stuff Connor would see if I let him look at me naked? I knew he liked my body in the dark. His hands were always moving, always touching. And he'd pressed against me so hard, like he was afraid I'd disappear if given the space to breathe. The light in my bathroom was harsh, and I felt I deserved that. I despised the girl staring back at me. This was the girl Autumn hated. This was the girl no one really liked. I couldn't stand looking at her. So I shut off the bathroom light and lit a candle that I kept by the sink. Everything got softer. The ripples on my thigh disappeared. I uncoiled the towel from my head and let my hair fall down onto my shoulders in cold clumps. I leaned forward, putting my hands on the sink edge. More shadows, more curves appeared. I didn't look like myself. I looked hungry, starved for affection, for someone who'd make me feel good about myself. I looked like I knew what I was doing when I very clearly did not, because I didn't understand how being with Connor could feel so right one moment and so pointless the next. Not that it mattered. I was living life in moments, in darkness, in that shed. I wrapped myself back up in the towel, blew out the candle, and tiptoed across the hall into my room. My phone was buzzing again. Connor, surely. Not Autumn. Never again, Autumn. I grabbed it, planning to text him back that I wasn't coming over tonight. Because really, this whole thing was stupid and bound to blow up in my face. There was really no other way it could end. He wrote, "Please?" One word, and I was gone. Chapter 28. The idea of me showing up late to the SATs would have been laughable a few weeks before, along with the notion that Autumn and I would no longer be friends or that I'd spent my nights in the woods. But that was my life. So maybe I shouldn't have been so shocked after all. I got to school with mere seconds to spare. Miss B, the proctor from my room, stood at the open classroom door, frowning down at her wristwatch. When she looked up and saw me racing down the hall as fast as my legs would carry me, her face was a blend of relief and disappointment. I'd seen her look angry before, but never straight on, only from the sides, the periphery aimed at someone else. I thought of about a million excuses in the span of a second, but when I opened my mouth, she shook her head and pointed inside. No time, Natalie. We've got to get started. The last open seat in the classroom happened to be directly behind my now former best friend. If Autumn was at all concerned that I wouldn't have arrived on time, she didn't look it. As soon as I came into the room, she leaned over and started to root around in her bag, avoiding my eyes. It was a big slap in the face, considering Autumn probably wouldn't have taken a single SAT prep course if it hadn't been for me. I was practically her private tutor, passing on the knowledge I'd gotten from my summer course and all the manuals I'd read. Did she think about that? Did she remember how much I'd done to prepare her for today? I walked past her without crying or saying anything, but inside, I wondered if I could really do this for a whole year. If we could reinvent ourselves as strangers. Miss B handed out the test booklets. I stared at my future, a page full of empty circles. I'd worked way too hard for way too long to prepare for this day. I needed to push everything out of my head and get serious. This, ultimately, was my ticket to escape Liberty River. This life that I'd suddenly screwed up. Except when the test started, I ignored my booklet and stared at the back of Autumn's head, boring holes into her skull, trying to think about what could possibly be going on in her head. And the truth was, I felt tired. I'd been all over Connor last night, kissing him so hard I'd barely breathed. Plus, the heat was on high in the classroom, the dry and hissing heat that was perfect for naps. I don't remember falling asleep. Just the earthquake that woke me. I looked up. Everyone in the room did. Miss B used my desk for balance. She had one high heel off, bending over slightly to examine her big toe. She'd bumped my desk leg so hard that my pencil had fallen off and rolled halfway across the classroom floor. I wiped away the wetness on my cheek, but there was nothing I could do about the translucent stain of drool right smack in the center of my test booklet.
"Excuse me," Miss B announced, as if it had been an accident. The look she gave me before returning to the front of the room was one of unmistakable, purposeful disappointment. I recovered and finished as much of the test as I could, but I still felt like an absolute failure.
Chapter 29. Somewhere in the middle of our makeout session that night, Connor stopped kissing me and started thinking, which was exactly what I had been trying to avoid.
"What are you doing?"
I asked when he pulled away mid-kiss.
"I can tell you're upset."
"No, I'm not."
"I'm not dumb, Sterling."
He rolled off me and onto his back.
"What's wrong?"
It was a straightforward question, but the answers in my brain were a knotted mess I didn't want to untangle. I flipped onto my stomach and pressed my face into the pillow. "Connor, please, I don't want to get into it right now."
"Then go ahead and change the subject, but I'm not messing around with you when you're like this."
"Why not? I thought guys like you were always good to go."
"It's making me feel gross."
I lifted my head and glared at him.
"Thanks a lot. You know what I mean."
"All right, fine. I've got a question for you." I smiled a very sweet, very fake smile. "Who did you vote for student council president?"
Connor suddenly looked uneasy. "Isn't that an invasion of voter privacy or something?"
"So it was, Mike."
I tugged hard on the blanket to give me a little extra. Connor was a blanket hog. Figures.
Mike's my friend. Of course I voted for him.
He said it like I should have known that already, like there was no possible way he would have voted for me. I turned away from him. I didn't know why it stung so much. Maybe because, deep down, I'd hoped that Connor secretly had voted for me, which was stupid. Connor curled his body against mine.
I think you're doing a really good job as president, if that counts for something. I'd vote for you now.
I knew why. I knew all Connor's reasons. It doesn't, but thanks anyway.
Really? That doesn't make it better? Not even a little?
I stared hard into the dark, mad at myself for bringing this up in the first place. No, it makes it worse.
Look, Sterling, I didn't know you then.
I hate to break it to you, Connor, but you still don't. He let out a deep, exasperated sigh. I felt it against my back.
You're not exactly an expert on me either. You still haven't come to any of my football games, even though I'd like it if you did.
I despise football, not to mention all the guys on your team.
I know you have your issues with my friends, especially Mike, and I can't blame you for that. When I saw how he screwed up your campaign poster, I got so pissed I took it down myself.
I blushed. You did that?
Come on. I've got sisters, and if a guy ever wrote stuff like that about them, I'd lose my mind. Mike doesn't think sometimes. He doesn't have the best judgment.
Connor sat up.
But I'm not Mike. You know that, right?
Maybe. I wanted to believe that Connor was smarter, sweeter than I'd originally thought. But I couldn't completely ignore the truth either. Connor had some very questionable friends, not to mention a long history of girls he'd fooled around with. I had to be careful, even if I didn't exactly want to be. Connor took the tip of my ponytail and drew a circle in the palm of his hand, as if it were a paintbrush.
I may not know you, but I'm trying. I want to figure you out.
My throat got tight. Maybe you shouldn't.
Why?
Because that's not what this is supposed to be. As soon as I said it, I worried what Connor would say. Would he confirm my deepest fears that our relationship was purely physical? Or would he tell me he had real feelings for me? Both prospects scared me. Luckily, Connor didn't say anything. Quite possibly because he was as confused as me. And in a strange way, that was comforting. I took advantage of his silence and stood up.
I should probably go,
I announced. I scanned the floor for my socks, tiptoeing through the darkness on a freezing cold floor. I heard him get up, and then I felt myself be spun around. Connor wrapped his arms around me tight. That's when I realized that we'd never officially hugged before. We'd touched so many different parts of each other, independent pieces that made up the whole of us, but never something so all-encompassing. Even though I felt the urge to push him away, I didn't. I just let Connor hold me. And I might have even held him back.
Chapter 30.
I notice you've been distracted. I shifted in my seat and stared at the pointed toes of Miss B's high heels. It was the Monday after the SATs, and if she'd wanted to fail me 1,000 times over, I probably would have agreed to it. I felt that guilty.
I know, I said. I'm sorry.
Natalie, I know you've been working hard, and you've got a lot on your plate, but your recent behavior concerns me. Thanksgiving is this week, and we're completely unprepared to assemble the food baskets. We need to begin making announcements for the students to bring food donations.
to get in touch with the local shelter, to see how many families are...
Clearly, I needed to cut back the time I spent with Connor and the time I thought about him because I was thinking about him far too much.
Natalie, are you even listening?
She put her teacup down on her desk so hard, a few drops of brown liquid sloshed past the lip.
Yes, of course.
Miss B narrowed her eyes. She was not amused.
I've already finished a draft of your college recommendation letter. Please don't compel me to revise it.
That caught me completely off guard. Would Miss B really do something like that? Was the good reputation I'd worked so hard to make for myself in jeopardy? I nodded, apologized profusely, grabbed my coat, and got out of there as quickly as possible. That's the thing with secrets. You can't explain yourself. The only thing you're left able to say is sorry. Again and again. I had just turned on my car when Spencer knocked on the window, her arms wrapped around herself. She wasn't wearing a coat, even though there were hardly any leaves left on the tree branches.
Hey, Natalie, do you think I could get a ride home? My mom got stuck at work, and the next bus won't come for at least an hour.
Sure, I said, and leaned over to click my passenger side door open. The gesture sparked a sad sensory memory. It felt like forever since I'd done that for someone.
Thanks.
Spencer settled into the seat and slammed the door. Her teeth were chattering, and she started rubbing her bare legs. I cranked up the heat and pointed all the vents at her.
I owe you big time,
she said. After Miss B's lecture, I wasn't really in the mood to talk. Luckily, Spencer was in a chatty mood, and she gossiped about a bunch of people in between giving me directions to her apartment building. I didn't have to say much. And then, peering at my neck... Spencer teased.
So, have you gotten any more bug bites lately?
It was weird. Instead of being defensive, I thought about telling Spencer everything. And I would have if it wasn't Connor I was kissing. First of all, Spencer had liked Connor. She wore his name on her prostitute shirt. I didn't think she still had feelings for him, but I wasn't positive. Plus, I didn't exactly trust Spencer's discretion. All she'd need to do was tell one person, and the secret would be out. I'd look like the biggest hypocrite in the world, which I guess I kind of was. But then, I remembered what Autumn had said to me in the hallway. She'd moved on, made new friends. Why was I so intent on keeping Spencer at arm's length? She'd proven herself to me more than a few times, and whether I liked it or not, Spencer understood boys in a way that I didn't.
All right, I am seeing someone, I said casually, and then quickly added, he's not from around here.
If not for her seatbelt, Spencer might have popped straight out of her seat.
I knew it! Oh my God, tell me everything about him. Is he cute? I bet he is so cute.
I turned to her and smiled. So many adjectives filled my mouth, but I could see Spencer's apartment building looming ahead. I didn't want to drop her off. It felt so good to have a girlfriend. Why hadn't I done this weeks ago? So when I braked for a stop sign, I turned to her and asked, "Do you maybe want to go grab a bite to eat? My treat." Spencer grinned from ear to ear. She looked grateful, as if she were lucky to receive such an invitation from me. I drove us to what used to be Autumn and my favorite diner, which was an old-timey steel trailer with a handful of tables and a bright pink neon sign. The place was pretty empty since it was still a few hours before dinner time. Our waitress let us have our pick of seats, and Spencer opted for the last booth on the right. We had a view of the parking lot and our own push-button jukebox stocked with oldies. Spencer dug for quarters to give us a soundtrack. We each ordered a Coke and a crock of onion soup baked over with a bubbling cheese canopy, and we shared a plate of perfectly crisp fries drowning in gravy. I was so incredibly happy. Spencer gladly let me yammer on and on about a slightly altered version of Connor. I kept lots of details the same. How handsome he was, how he was attracted to the fact that I was such a smart and strong girl. The only thing I changed were the details on how we'd met.
My new boyfriend had been my tutor in an SAT prep class, a brilliant college freshman.
So, what's the issue? Spencer asked. He sounds great.
Hearing her say that made my heart hurt. Connor and I were so close to perfect, but still so far. Or just
very different people, I said. And?
And nothing. I don't see us having a future. We're like wasting each other's time.
Spencer's face wrinkled. What do you mean future? You're not going to be one of those girls who gets married at 18, are you?
What? I said, grabbing another napkin. No, of course not.
Well, then what kind of future are you talking about?
I thought of our cold little shed.
He's transferring to another college after Christmas, and I don't want to get attached.
Spencer dabbed her fry into a pool of ketchup.
You won't get attached, she said, matter-of-factly.
I won't?
No, because you already know you can't. It's mind over matter, Natalie. You can't get attached, so don't get attached. It's as easy as that.
Oh.
Get what you can out of